So Psalm 105, I'm going to be reading the first five verses. It is, if you're using the Pew Bible that's provided, it's on page 292. And this is God's Word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He uttered. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, would You take Your Word and our thoughts about You and Your Word and mold us in the image of Jesus? Would You help us to trust You? Would You unveil to us the bits of our heart that needs to be unveiled? Would You undergird all of our repentance with great hope in Jesus and with an eye towards His kindness and His strength? We do thank You for Your faithfulness to Trinity Church as a church family in this past year. And we look with expectation at how Your grace will transform us and use us and lead us in the coming year. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so just two points tonight, and they're pretty easy to, I think, remember. I hope to not forget them. The first one is that we are to look back at bygone grace with thanksgiving. So we look back at bygone grace of 2019 with thanksgiving, and then we look forward at future grace with faith. And so we look back at bygone grace with thanksgiving in our hearts for all God has done for us in Jesus, and we look forward expecting His future grace towards us, and we enter into that by faith. So that's what we'll do. First, let's think about bygone grace and thanksgiving. You probably know the story from Luke chapter 17 where Jesus, I'll just read it for you. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when Jesus saw them, He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now this man was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And He said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So at least at some level, Jesus thinks that we are built to give thanks to Him for what He has done for us. Not just that He is expecting it, but that He has wired us for the same. So I do want to encourage you to think about His goodness to you in this past year, but not, I don't know if you had this experience, I don't have younger children anymore, and so when somebody would give them a gift, you know, I had to say, "Now go and tell them thank you for that," you know, "thank you," and it's just always so moving for the people when they heard my words repeated with less passion. So I don't mean to point you towards thanksgiving at bygone grace in that manner, but believing that there is joy for you to have as you see the work and kindness of God for you in the past years. And then also believing that the way God has made us is that as we see His faithfulness in the past, we are buoyed and undergirded and given resolve to embrace His promises in the future. So it's for that reason, and not just that we would be polite folk, that I want to encourage Thanksgiving. You heard in Psalm 105, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, tell of all his wondrous works. And then if you look over just a little bit in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And so, God, we stand here at the end of 2019, and I'm not saying there aren't unresolved things in our individual and corporate life. I'm not saying that there aren't things that we're uneasy about. I'm not saying there aren't things we are nervous if we look to the future about. But what I am saying is stop for a moment and reflect on the wondrous works of God towards you in the past year. What has he shown you about himself? Where has he helped you to know more clearly his amazing patience with you, his delight in you, the wondrous sufficiency of his provision of Jesus? Has he moved you just a bit more into believing that your relationship with him is one that he has given to you, and not one that you have earned, and therefore you can have it freely and joyfully? Has he delivered you from temptation? Has he brought you from despair into hope? What has the Lord done for you? In a moment, we're going to stop, and I'm going to give you space to pray privately and silently. And I would encourage you to be thinking, what has the Lord done for you this past year? I love that hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. That wasn't requested. There were a lot of great requests tonight. But that stanza that says, hast thou not seen how all your longings have been granted in what he ordaineth? And I've always appreciated that line from that hymn because it sort of forces me to look backwards and to think there's so many things that I wanted my life to be. And it haven't been. But as I look back, I have been given everything that I ever dreamed of or could hope for in a way that he only can make happen. And then in the hymn that we'll close with, Amazing Grace, John Newton wrote this, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And so I would ask you, what have been the dangers, toils, and snares that Jesus has brought you through in this past year, maybe even in the past months? So we're going to pause. I'm going to read what's called the Great Prayer of Thanksgiving in the Book of Common Prayer, and I'll give space for you to silently try to tell God these things yourself, and how it manifested itself in your life. So let's pray. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. And so let's park there. When you hear the phrase, we thank you for your goodness and loving kindness, just tell the Lord silently instances and places that that brings up for you. Continuing, we bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. And so now we'll stop there. When you think of how God has preserved you, this year, preserved your hope, preserved your joy, preserved your walk with Him, preserved you. And all the blessings of this life. What are the blessings of this life? Did you see some new part of creation that you gazed upon the wonder of what He's made? The blessings of this life. Did you welcome a child or a grandchild or one of your friends have a baby that you can rejoice in that simple but wondrous blessing? Give thanks to God for the blessings of this life. Continuing, but above all, we give thanks for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus. And so, reflect on this. We sang this morning that the blood of Jesus can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Just rehearse in God's presence individually and silently that you're glad to be saved, that you're glad to be forgiven, that you're glad that that immeasurable love has wrapped Himself around you. For this immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. For the means of grace, where has God helped you through Bible reading and sermon preaching and fellowship and prayer and communion and baptism? These ordinary means of grace by which He showers us with His love, where do you want to pause and thank Him for meeting you there? And continuing, we pray and give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen and amen. One old Puritan prayer says, "Thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world, and in love did you redeem my soul. You love me still, in spite of my hard heart, my ingratitude, and my distrust. Your goodness has been with me another year, leading me through a twisting wilderness. You love me still." And so, whatever that brings up for you that you want to follow through on later, but I hope just to begin to realize that the Lord has been faithful in stewarding you and in stewarding us as a people. We may not even know all the ways that He's done that yet, but He's been faithful and true. So we look back on the bygone grace that God has given to us with thanksgiving. We look at it and say, "Thank you, Lord, and we praise you for your wondrous works." And we turn and look forward, believing that He will be gracious to us in this year. Do you know that? Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased for you that God will be gracious towards you this year? You don't have to hope for it. It has been guaranteed you by the finished work of Jesus. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" He has given up his son for us. How will he not also in him give us all things? And so you are on the precipice of a year when the Lord of heaven will be gracious to you and bid you to trust in his promises for this coming year, to believe in this year that Jesus is kind and strong towards you, to believe in this year that the Holy Spirit is in you and works powerfully to help you walk with Jesus, that his very word will come alive for you, that his church will help you to know him, that his church will help you to use your gifts for his glory, that whatever you're working on and you're calling in this world, he cares about it and plans to be gracious to you in it. That we stand on the precipice. That same Puritan prayer transitions to say, "Thy goodness will be with me in the year ahead. Therefore, I hoist sail and draw up anchor with thee as the blessed pilot of my future as of my past. I bless thee that thou hast veiled my eyes to the waters ahead. If thou hast appointed storms of tribulation, you will be with me in them." And so, I think it was the one that Mrs. Joseph talked about, requested, that I'm not gifted to understand or whatever. I didn't know that hymn. But basically it says, I don't know what the future holds, but I see the Lord and know that he is for me and in it. And that's how you look on 2020. Of course, there are things that are frightening to us. Of course, there are things that we hope change in this coming year, both individually, our own sinful struggles, our own places where we really have a hard time hoping and believing and being transformed by God's grace. Of course, there's things about us we want to grow. There's things about our world. There's things about our church. We don't know what this year holds, how God plans to use us, what God plans to bring into our lives. But what we do know is that he is in it with us and that he has planned it out for us, that we will not be alone, that he will neither leave us or forsake us, that by his Spirit he will be with us. And that's why Psalm 105 says to seek the Lord, verse 4, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. You can do that because Jesus has purchased it for you. You can do that because it's yours, your inheritance as an heir of God, that you can live in his presence continually, and that the number one thing that we seek after is that. When I think about looking at the year to come, I'm reminded of, I don't know how many of you know that John Calvin had this seal, the way that he used to sort of draw a little picture at the end of his letters and had a Latin phrase, but it was a picture of hands and a flaming heart in those hands, and it was being lifted up. And the phrase in English says, "My heart I offer to you, Lord, promptly and sincerely." I don't know if I've ever wanted to be called a Calvinist more than when I think of that. My heart, Lord, I offer to thee promptly and sincerely. One writer puts it like this in a prayer: "Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you. Let me be laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal." And so here we are with 2019 and a year of God's faithfulness towards us individually and corporately. And then we stand on the brink and know that we step out into a year of God's grace towards us in Jesus, where His purposes are going to be manifested, where His kingdom will advance, where He will bring glory to Himself, and He will do His people good. This is our promise. This is what the year ahead holds. I wanted to give you, I've been looking into the book of Genesis because, you know, Wednesday we start reading it as a church family. And so I was starting to try to reacquaint myself with it. And I was listening to somebody teach, and they showed me something I'd never seen before. And it's sort of a model for me and that I would give to you as we enter into. And this is also a little teaser to encourage you to read the book of Genesis. There's gold in them thar hills. But this, I'd never seen this before. In chapter 11 at the Tower of Babel, the people are seeking to build something up to the sky. And they say, quote, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves." And so all these people who are not following God, they long for substance, they long for meaning, they long for importance. And so they say, here's how we'll find it. Let's make a name for ourselves. And God will have no one make a name for themselves. And so He immediately disperses them, calls it, this is where all the languages come from. He shuts down that building project, just shuts it down. And so in 11:4, where you had the people saying, let's make a name for ourselves, God said, mm-mm. And then in 12, when God calls Abram, He calls this guy who's from a family of moon worshipers. He calls him and says, I want you to go from your country and your family and your father's house to the land that I'm going to show you. I'll make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you, and I will make your name great. That what the Lord would not let people do for themselves, He freely promises to do for Abram. That He will not let any of us make our name great in 2020, or whatever it is that you think you want to grasp for, don't. Let Him give it to you. Receive it from His hands. He goes on to say to Abram, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I'll curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so all of those dispersed people who had rebelled against God, God says, my plan is to make Abram's name great, and to bless all the families of the earth through him. And that's what He's done. And that's what He's going to continue to do. Let Him do for you and make your name great. I do want to point you to the hymn that we'll close with. You can turn there. I don't even know what page it's on. 460. While you're going there, I will just remind you that this hymn, which is always special, this hymn was written to be sung on January the 1st. John Newton, for a New Year's Day service, wrote a hymn which he entitled Faith's Review and Expectation. Do you hear that? Faith's Review, looking back, and Expectation, looking forward. People in the marketing department got a hold of that and said, Faith's Review and Expectation ain't going to work, but I think we can sell Amazing Grace. And that's what we know this hymn as. And I just remind you of how much of it looks towards the future. In verse 4, the Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, and when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. Indeed, it is grace that has brought us safe thus far, and it is grace that will lead us home.